Good morning. I remember going to a restaurant once with Sandra, and every time the waiter brought over the meals that we'd ordered, he just made a habit of touching my elbow or my shoulder or my chin with his hand, just ever so slightly. And it was quite peculiar. But the restaurant experience itself, the food, the ambience, everything about it was absolutely fantastic. The best meal, best experience I've ever had in a restaurant at all. And I couldn't really understand why it was so good. And I asked the waiter if he knew, and he said, "Oh yes." He said, "It's the small touches that make the difference." The point I'm very badly trying to get over this morning is how important politeness and good manners are, how much of a difference they make in life. My parents certainly told me not to forget my please and my thank yous, and they instilled in me good manners, as all parents should try and do. At school, I try and teach my pupils the importance of good manners as well, and I tell them that the three most important words are please, sorry, and thank you. And yes, there's normally a pupil who puts up their hand and says, "Mr. Turner, those are four words, not three words." To which I say, to further emphasize my point, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you." These words are also important in relation to God as well. Sorry and forgiveness are obviously at the very heart of the gospel itself. But this morning, I want to really look at the importance of giving thanks to God. I've arranged my message into 8 points. Now you might say, why have I done this? Well, not to have done so would seem, well, pointless. I'm sorry about that one. Please forgive me. Thank you. The first reason then is that we should give thanks to God because he instructs us to. Scripture is full of directions for us regarding this. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And there's many other countless examples which you can look up for yourselves. Thanksgiving to God is not like we experience Thanksgiving in the world. We don't just give thanks to God when good things happen, when the sun's out, when our favorite football team wins in a vital match, or when we're having our favorite food. But we're called to give God thanks in all circumstances. Why? Circumstances change, don't they, in life, in the physical world in which we live. But the Bible says God doesn't change. He's invisible, spiritual, eternal. And that's why when the circumstances change, God doesn't change, we still can give him thanks. The second reason to give thanks to God is because it's the right response to him for all that he does and all that he's done for us. We're thankful for a reason. We're thankful because. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge." Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he has made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." It is right to thank him and praise him because he is worthy, For he is generous. He is good all the time. And you know, in giving thanks to God, we're attributing our blessings and the good things in our lives to him. We're saying he's the reason, he's the source of all the good things in our life. Not fortune, not fate, not our own effort, not others, but him. Bob's not saying that we don't give thanks to people that help and support us in our lives. Of course we do. But overall, the thanksgiving that we bring above all is to God, for he ultimately is the source of all of our blessings, even though he will use circumstances and people in our lives to be a blessing to us as well. Reason three. The reason we need to bring our thanksgiving to God is to express our gratitude towards him. Now, this is not the same as the last point. There's an important distinction. Thanking God because it's the right thing to do is about obligation, and it's really person-centered. But expressing our thanks because we want to, well, that's about appreciation. That's genuine and sincere thanks, and that's God-centered. When we thank someone because we're obliged, we're really thinking of ourselves. But when we thank somebody else, or we thank God because of our gratitude, because it's genuine and sincere, well, that's them-centered. That's God-centered, not self-centered. I can think about the time that a pupil was brought to me in school when he'd failed to behave himself in a detention with me. And he left that detention and, you know, under no circumstances had he properly done the detention that was set for him. And he was brought back to me by the head of year. And he was standing next to the head of year, looking very sort of sorry for himself. And the head of year sort of gave him a little nudge and said, "What do you say to Mr. Turner?" And he said, "Sorry, Mr. Turner." And I thanked him for his apology, but I also made it clear that he would have to do the detention that he hadn't done. It was still an obligation that he had to fulfill. And at that point, the boy, with a few choice words, ran off and went away. You see, his apology wasn't sincere. It wasn't meant. He was thinking about himself when he was bringing it. He wasn't thinking about me. He wasn't thinking about really doing the right thing. And that's the difference, really. You know, when we bring thanksgiving towards God, we don't bring it because it's an obligation. We don't bring it because it's something that we are indebted to do. But we bring it out of sincere gratitude, out of free will, because we want to and because he is worthy of it. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2 says, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." David wrote this psalm, and along with Psalm 10, it forms an acrostic poem where each alternate verse of the poem starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This wasn't thanksgiving from a sense of obligation that David had recorded. This was David taking the time and the trouble over showing his heartfelt gratitude to God, the God that he adored and worshipped. And this brings me nicely to point four. Another reason why we should bring our thanksgiving to God is because it's an act of worship. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving." Psalm 95, verse 2 says, "Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song." Thankfulness to God is not just something uttered with our lips. It comes from a deeper place, from our heart. And when we give our thanks to God through worship, it's our heart interacting with his heart, our heart speaking to his heart. It's an interaction. As we thank him, we glorify him, we extol him, we give him his rightful place in our lives. We enthrone him in our lives. That process, as I say, is interactive. He imparts things to us as we worship him. Thanksgiving will change us, because as we minister to God, he ministers to us. It's just the way that God is. God is a God of love, and as we approach him, he approaches us. As we embrace him, he embraces us. And we shouldn't be surprised that Thanksgiving will change us, because have you ever had the experience where you've really wholeheartedly thanked somebody for something they've done in your life, and you leave that that event changed, don't you? It affects you when you really sort of pour your heart out and thank somebody for something they've done in your life. You come away changed as well yourself. So Thanksgiving does have an effect upon us, and it does change us. Reason five, giving thanks to God helps us to keep things in perspective. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul is not using psychology here. He's being quite literal about where our focus should be. There's the visible, temporary, physical world that we live in. And if that's our focus, we can easily become disheartened. And that can feed into our fear. This is where sometimes the enemy wants our focus to be. But then there's the invisible, the eternal, the spiritual reality of God and his kingdom. And if we focus upon this, we become encouraged. And this feeds into our faith. And this is where God wants us to have our focus. As we thank God for his blessings, our focus is upon the spiritual, invisible, eternal. Our faith is lifted, our fears subside. Reason six for being thankful and bringing our thanksgiving to God is that it's powerful and it can provide breakthroughs in our lives. We should never give anything to God, of course, in order just to receive, let alone thanksgiving. But as I've already said, when we approach God with a right and a thankful heart, he will bring change into our lives and into our circumstances. An example of this in scripture is Jonah in the belly of the fish. He wasn't in a good place, of course, at the time, physically. He was probably feeling a little down in the mouth. Wasn't having a whale of a time in there. What happened moments before his release, though, from that aquatic prison? Moments before his release, he was ministering to God, the Bible says, with grateful praise. And we can read about this in Jonah 2, verses 7 to 10. And it says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. At times we're in the worst of situations. Lift grateful praise to God, and his deliverance will often follow. We think again of Paul and Silas in prison in the book of Acts, and what released them from their prison? It was a great severe earthquake which shook the prison that they're in. But what were they doing at the time of that earthquake? They were praising and singing hymns to God. It's important at times to move our focus away from our circumstances and onto God, and see God then move upon those circumstances for us. Sometimes it's releasing those circumstances by just sort of coming to God with thanksgiving and focusing upon him. We move our attention away from fear. We move our attention away from our circumstances, and it releases that situation to put it in God's hands so God can affect it and God can change it. Reason seven We're nearly there. Two to go. Reason seven for being grateful to God is that it keeps us from having a heart of ingratitude. There's few things in life as offensive as a person who is spoilt and ungrateful. We live in a world where so many only think about themselves and the next must-have thing. God has given us so much that in truth we'll never be able to express our gratitude deeply enough or long enough. Being grateful keeps us from being ungrateful. It moves us to a better place. It develops better qualities within us that other people will see and be drawn to. It releases us from having to keep up with the Joneses or with the Kardashians. It makes us more Jesus-like, more Christ-like, and God will use that to draw people to him through us. Reason eight, I'm sure there's many other reasons that I could have gone into this morning, but I've just come up with eight, and I'm sure you're very thankful that I didn't come up with 120 or more. But reason eight, the last one I've come up with about giving thanks to God, is because it's good for us, not only spiritually, but also physically. It benefits us. Having an attitude of thankfulness is actually good for the mind and the body. Medical science has discovered that grateful people tend to have lower blood pressure, improved immunity, healthier hearts, and better mental health. We shouldn't be surprised, because God's ways work. Using a medical analogy, I want to issue you with a prescription this morning. The prescription is to make time in your life to give thanks to God regularly. The start of the day is an ideal time to do it. Keep it simple. Thank God for the air that we breathe. Thank God for the fact our hands work, that we can walk, that we have eyes, that we have ears. Imagine life without those things makes you realize how thankful we are for them. You know, just spend a few moments in God's presence, thinking about the hand and how wonderfully created it is and what we can do with it and where we would be in life if we didn't have our right or our left hand or neither hand, if neither of them worked properly, where we would be, how different our life would be. And we can just thank and praise God for that, not taking those things for granted, but really being thankful and appreciating them and what he has done for us in our lives. If we have an area of stress in our life, it's good to give thanks for what is good in those areas. So imagine you're having troubles with one of your children, behavior-wise or whatever. Well, give thanks to God for that child instead of just focusing on what's wrong, which sometimes can just blow things out of proportion and just really set us into a downward spiral. You know, really give thanks to God for what is good about that person, for what is good about that situation, for what blessings there are because of that person's life. And, you know, many ways that can begin to turn that situation around right there. But certainly, again, we're releasing that situation, we're releasing that circumstance to God, who can then work in it for us. As Christians, we can often get the cart before the horse when it comes to thanksgiving. In the world, people wait for things to go well before being grateful. But the Bible teaches us, however, that having an attitude of gratitude is actually the foundation from which good things come. You know, if we spent all eternity thanking God for his blessing, we wouldn't have even scratched the surface. I remember what sums up really our debt to God in terms of thanking him for all he has done is summed up neatly in a poem that I once came across in, of all things, a Billy Graham booklet. And it was when I first became a Christian, and I learned the poem. It had such an effect upon me that I learned the poem, and I remember it to this day. And it was this: could we with ink the oceans fill, were the skies of parchment made, were every blade of grass a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I want to encourage you to make room in your lives to bring thanksgiving unto God. We owe him so much, but as well, it will release something in you. So give it a try. And finally, thank you for listening.